This podcast of this Swain event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
You're listening to the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com.
Always active Ken on the text box says, come on, Swain, we didn't beat Auburn because of our O-line. They were terrible that game, too. 36 rushes for 68 yards. And if you want to give me Auburn and Kentucky as good examples, I'll give you the other 10 games, especially Charlotte, Florida, as bad examples. Ken, what are you saying? What are you saying, Ken? The offensive line is bad, no doubt about it. But they had two good games. They did. You can't take that game away from them. You can look at the rushing yards all you want to, but let's not just look at the rushing yards. Why don't you look at the time that Jerry Garantano had during that game, too? He was 21 for 32. He was the national player of the week. You don't just give all the credit to the quarterback and none to the offensive line for providing him protection? There's a lot of downfield throws. A lot of downfield throws. The offensive line, they were terrible. But in those two games, they were out of character. They were out of character in a good way. Because their normal character was they were bad. But they were out of character against Auburn. They were out of character against Kentucky in a good way. And that goes back to our conversation about Will Friend. I don't think Will Friend would be a terrible offensive line coach in those two performances, and have those two performances with that offensive line. These coaches inherited that roster, that offensive line that was small from the get-go, guys that they probably wouldn't have recruited if they were at Georgia or Florida or someone else. That's not who they wanted. Now, they did bring in Jerome Carvin, and Jerome Carvin played some. He made some mistakes, just like any true freshman would make.
He should have redshirted this year, but he wasn't afforded that luxury. Just as Jameer Johnson probably should have redshirted this year to get bigger in the weight room. And the offensive line was not perfect in the Auburn game. They weren't great in the Auburn game. They weren't even great in the Kentucky game. Now, the Kentucky game was their best game of the year, but in that Auburn game, Jarrett also did a good job of getting the ball out and trusting Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer to go up and make a play. And I also thought Tyson Helton in that game did a good job of using the two tight end sets to line them up offset behind the tackle, and that provided just a little bit more time to allow Jared to get the ball out. And so, again, the offensive line was not great in that football game, but by this offensive line standards, that was one of their better games of the year.
Yeah, I'm just not willing to say that Will Friend is just terrible.
No, I'm with you.
Based on those two games against better talent, they were inconsistent. They were not good, but they were pretty good those 2 days. Good enough to win.
Yeah,
and give Jared time to throw the ball down the field.
There's no doubt about it. And you can't judge any coach on the staff for better or for worse based off this season, in my opinion. Even Tyson Helton, a guy who did not have a good season, to me it is still unfair to just write him off as a terrible offensive coordinator when the offensive line was pathetic. The running backs had nowhere to run the football. The quarterback had no time to throw the football. And then you didn't have a take-the-top-off-the-defense type of receiver. And your tight ends were inconsistent. So was Tyson Helton good? No, not at all. But to write him off as a terrible offensive coordinator, I think that is unfair as well, just like it would be unfair to just claim that after one season, the defensive line made progress throughout the season, to say Tracy Rocker is just this unbelievable defensive line coach.
Tennessee outrushed Kentucky in that game. Tennessee had 215 yards rushing against a Kentucky defensive line that has a potential first-round draft pick, and we'll have some guys that will be competing in NFL camp. So They play well in that game, but that is me answering the critics that just automatically says right now, or I'm automatically say right now, that Will Friend is a terrible offensive line coach. If you can say that right now and be right, cool. Congratulations. I'm not ready to say that right now because I need to see him with more talent before I make that statement. You can make that statement. You're on Twitter. You got 730 followers. You say it. You can reverse your course. No one's going to call you out on it. No one's going to remember that. I can't do that. I have to treat this like toothpaste out of a tube because if I say it, I can't just take it back. I can't make statements like that and just reverse courses back and forth, back and forth. I got to be sure. I got to be 100% that he is not a good coach before I say he's not a good coach. That's me, what I think is being responsible. I like to be responsible.
There's just not enough evidence. And with the lack of talent, it's not fair, in my opinion, to judge if any of these coaches on the staff is good or bad. Let's wait until, to me, just the way I am, I wait a little bit longer to make judgments than most people do. To me, it's year three before my judgment is firm. Because even next year, there's going to be a lack of talent to an extent, a lack of depth, a lack of development.
Ken says, touche, Swain. He says, I agree somewhat. I still think Will Friend's performance in terms of getting his position group to improve as the season went along was by far the worst on the staff. I'm not a big fan of the pre-snap penalties, things like that. I was a little surprised in the linebacker play. I didn't think the linebacker play was all that great. I need to see a little bit more from Kevin Scherer there. South Kakalakaval says the only reason they were decent in those games because Coach Fulmer worked with them. You will see what kind of coach Will Friend is. Really? We just going to give all the credit to Coach Fulmer?
And even if we were doing the Coach Fulmer route,
come on.
Those were the only 2 weeks of the season Coach Fulmer decided to work with the offensive line.
Come on, South Khaki like it all. So Coach Fulmer was like, I'm just going to work with them, Kentucky and Auburn. I'm going to be hands off for the rest of them.
Forget Alabama, the team I hate the most. Forget Vanderbilt, our in-state rival. I'm just going to do Kentucky and Auburn.
He said, well, back to the original argument, you can't say Will Friend's better than Sam Pittman. Oh, no.
No. Nobody said that. No,
I'm not saying that.
Nope.
I'm not saying if I had to line up the two offensive line coaches, Sam Pittman to me is better. But you're not going to fire Will Friend for Sam Pittman right now. You're not going to do that. Will Friend's been here 1 year. You're not going to do that.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The thing that I would say, though, is I would – make changes elsewhere. I would move Will Friend around to bring in Sam Pittman.
Hey. I ain't mad at you on that one, man. I saw where Jim Bob Cooter isn't returning to the Lions. He doesn't have any college experience, but we could do a lot worse than giving him a shot. I'm sorry. Coordinating at the NFL level is way harder than coordinating at the college level. And it ain't even close. The only difference for, let's say, if Jim Bob decides to coach in college, the only difference is there will be times where he would be at a disadvantage because of personnel, because of the lack of recruiting success. I mean, Jim Bob Cooter was trying to outcoach Bill Belichick. Like, that ain't easy at all. So he would probably do a good job. The only thing that stinks for him is that, man, his hours would be crazy. I mean, he would be getting in when it's dark and leaving when it's dark. And I'm not talking about like 6:30. I'm talking about like 11 at midnight.
He hasn't done that since what? He was a GA?
It's been a long time, man.
I mean, it would be a step down.
Yeah, it's long. He'll get opportunities in the NFL, and he should stay. He should stay.
I mean, it was already reported, I guess, whenever it was announced that Jim Bob Cooter was, I guess it was yesterday. So NFL guys were reporting that he's already received interest to be offensive coordinators elsewhere in the league.
Now, Jim Bob and I played together 2 years ago at Pro Day. We talked, and I asked him about coming back to the college game. And he told me he would rather stay in the NFL. So,
I mean, put yourself in your shoes, which work environment would you rather be in?
I'd be in the NFL.
And it's weird, because I think you agree with me, we love college football more than we love the NFL. But in terms of working, it's easier to work in the NFL than it is college football. And in the NFL, coaches get recycled like crazy. For whatever reason, the NFL does not like going out of the box. They recycle coaches. I mean, Hugh Jackson is about to be the coach of the Bengals, maybe. What?
That would be great.
Vance Joseph might be the coach of the Bengals after he went 11 and 20 something with that Broncos defense. What?
Yeah. What's his name? I just forgot. I had a brain.
Hugh Jackson.
I want Hugh Jackson to be the coach.
I did too.
That'd be great.
As a Steelers fan that despises the Bengals, I would love for the Bengals to hire Vance Joseph or Hugh Jackson.
Let me get back on topic about the OC stuff in Tennessee, Jim Bob Cooter. Remember, Coach Former had an impact on the possibility of bringing in Austin Thomas initially when the staff was put together. Austin Thomas, the quote-unquote college football's only GM, who is now Texas A&M, who went to school at Tennessee, who has a lot of love for Tennessee. And during that time, I spoke to Austin Thomas. Now, Austin was around the time when, I had either just finished up school or somewhere around that time. But he started his career at Tennessee. And you don't think Coach Former has something to do with bringing him back? You don't think Coach Former has something to do with maybe T. Fair being on the staff? So, Jim Bob Cooter's name, not just because he's a Tennessee guy, but you have an AD in Coach Former that him and Peyton actually helped Jim Bob get into the NFL. Jim Bob had an incident here at Tennessee that was not great at all. But because of Coach Former, because of Peyton, Jim Bob was able to get in on low level there in the NFL and kind of work himself up to be an offense coordinator. And so Coach Former is the tie there with Jim Bob Cooter, not just the fact that he played here. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline.
Speaking of Peyton Manning, he has been reportedly heavily involved in the Browns' search for a head coach and has been pushing Jimmy Haslam to hire Adam Gase, the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins and Peyton's offense coordinator in Denver in 2013. Are we just going to forget the last time Peyton got involved in a coaching search?
I'm not going to forget it, but everyone likes to get Peyton Manning's input on it. TM Process, it's probably a good thing for you, Swain, that Mike Yurcich is not going to be the offensive coordinator you're having in real time with his name. No offense, Happy New Year. Yeah, I guess I'm like Bob Kessler when it comes to Yurcich.
You're not the only one. I've struggled with it as well.
It's Yurcich.
I've heard Yurcich, Yurcich, I don't know. I'm just glad that, in a way,
I got it down now, though. It's Yurcich. I got it down. I think. You're probably right, TM Pride, 85. Let's go hire Bill Smith. It makes it a whole lot easier. Or Jim Chaney. Hey!
Or even Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter. That's easy. Easy. Easy.
And fun.
To say. I've been saying that name for a long time. Yep. Even Steve Sarkisian. I can say Steve Sarkisian. That works.
Don't bring me Steve Sarkisian.
Sark.
Well, that's Sark. What he would be referred to as, the Sark.
Just bring him in. 865-255-03. Stay with us.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, Man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The Shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The Berry Punch and Activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the Pure Recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter, oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you will feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK?
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy!
Gentlemen, when it comes to taking care of your health, sometimes the first step is the hardest. Low T Center is making it easier to take that first step. It all starts with knowing the numbers that are essential to a man. Testosterone levels, blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate, and thyroid. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get all these levels checked and more. Low T Center specializes in men's health and has expanded their services, including sleep apnea, low thyroid, hypertension, severe allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, and annual physicals, along with testosterone replacement therapy. The physicians at Low T Center not only want to help you feel good again, they want to help you prevent any serious health problems moving forward. Now, with the holistic approach to your overall health and wellness, Low T Center is making it more convenient for men to take care of their health, and most health insurance is accepted. They'll even verify for you. Take the first step for your health and call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare. JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union has helped people save money for almost 80 years. Whether it's free checking, financing a vehicle, or purchasing that new home, Alcoa 10 is here to help you. Better rates, better service. Check them out at atfcu.com.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Member NCUA.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
B-Draw Waterproofing Hotline. Ben?
Yes, sir.
Man, what are you going to do with your boy Antonio Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to you want to trade him? You going to keep him? The latest report is that there was an altercation at practice with allegedly Ben Roethlisberger. Antonio Brown did not practice last week and did not play. Ben Roethlisberger probably has a year or two left. Antonio Brown is a player that's going to play for the next probably 10 years. Do you bite the bullet and take Antonio Brown's side here and try to keep him? Or because I don't see how these two play together next year. What are you going to do, man? Should you trade him?
I trade him because he is a cancer to the locker room. And I am I don't like throwing out that word because it is a very strong word to use in this situation. To me, as an athlete, being a cancer in the locker room is the worst knock you can have on you, in my opinion. There's nothing worse than a bad teammate, in my opinion. And this is not a one-time incident, which is why I feel comfortable saying that. And this was my for what. That I was going to give earlier, and for those who were living under a rock on New Year's and didn't see, Antonio Brown reportedly got into a verbal altercation with Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger last week. I believe it was on Wednesday. He skipped Saturday's mandatory team walkthrough and then left Heinz Field at halftime. And this is just one of many, many headlines since the 2017 season ended. So 2018 was not Antonio Brown's best year. And just to name a couple, Brown skipped most of OTAs after he saw Roethlisberger wasn't there. Roethlisberger later admitted he had a pre-planned family vacation during the optional practices. Then there was the time that Brown slammed the media on the first day of mandatory minicamp, appearing to question why he plays, saying, "Am I playing football to make a lot of money, or am I playing football to take care of my family?" Brown continued, saying the media puts pressure on him and that he is unable to go out in public because of it.
Oh, gosh.
There's the time that Brown showed up in a helicopter to training camp. Brown then disappeared for a week during training camp. Mike Tomlin claimed that he had been sent to Pittsburgh for medical tests, but Brown was filmed in a pool in Miami. Then Brown reportedly called Ed Bouchette, who is a reporter in Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Gazette, I believe is the newspaper. Antonio Brown called him racist after Bouchette tweeted that Brown was limping at training camp. He then called him a clown on Twitter. Reportedly, Antonio Brown apologized. Antonio Brown showed up more than a few hours late to an event at a children's hospital, offering no explanation for why he was late. Brown makes a joke in a GQ article about cheating on his girlfriend. Brown threatened to assault ESPN's The Undefeated reporter, Jesse Washington, saying, "Wait till I see, bro. We gonna see what your jaw like." Brown then issued public apology. Brown was spotted by CBS cameras hugging former Browns offensive coordinator Todd Haley during a tie football game. Brown was seen yelling at his offensive coordinator, Randy Fitchner, and wide receivers coach Daryl Drake on the sideline. He then left the locker room before media could ask him about the game versus the Chiefs. Brown tweeted, "Trade me, let's find out," when criticized on Twitter by former Steelers public relations staff. Brown failed to show up for Monday meetings after the Chiefs game. He then told the media he was pissed off because we suck.
There's
like five other things.
I think the mentioning of him commenting on cheating on his girlfriend, I think that's piling on. It's really irrelevant.
It is.
To him being a professional football player. One of the five things you didn't mention is when he threw a object out of his window's condominium in Florida and it almost hit a kid.
That was the next on the list. Sued for trashing his Florida apartment and then claimed he had $80,000 in cash and a gun stolen from him.
Man, money changes folks or reveals who they really are, that's for sure. I can definitely testify to that. I've played with some guys who've made some money over their NFL career and guys who have been successful outside of football, and I've seen them change. I've seen it. And we're supposed to change. We're supposed to develop, and we're not a finished product. We're changing each and every day. You get better, you get worse. But I've seen guys get that money and be a totally different person. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. And Ron Clark dishing on Antonio Brown for ESPN, for me, kind of told me that they need to part ways. Go and show me a Super Bowl winning team that has a receiver that they're paying top three or top five money to. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I mean,
you look at the Steelers and when they won the Super Bowl, they had aging Hines Ward. They had a Santonio Holmes who was a headache, but not like Antonio Brown.
Correct.
And they got rid of Santonio Holmes, traded him to the Jets. But he wasn't a headache like Antonio Brown. Wasn't paying him as much money as they're paying Antonio Brown. So Mike Tomlin's in a weird situation. He's trying to keep things in-house and things like that, making excuses for Antonio Brown. But the hay is out the barn now. Everyone knows what's going on. And if I'm the Steelers, I make that move. I trade him.
I mean, he's a cancer to the locker room. I mean, we didn't even mention the time he was cited for driving 100 miles per hour on a road in Pittsburgh. And then he told police he was late for a team meeting. And then there's all these ridiculous losses that the Steelers had to the Saints that they blew a lead, the Chargers that they blew a lead, the Raiders. And afterwards, after these losses, Antonio Brown is posting his personal accolades on his social media that night, the very next morning. Like, what are you talking about, dude? You just lost a football game. So, to me, and I've said this for years now, the Steelers are not going to win anything of significance until the drama is eliminated. Le'Veon Bell was nothing but drama. And the team appeared to get better as a team after that saga ended. And I think if the Steelers can get rid of Antonio Brown through a trade, they would get better, weirdly, without him on their roster.
Yeah, Chat 10 Sports shot me this screenshot from Andrew Brandt that says Antonio's cap charge to the Steelers is basically the same off the roster that it would be on the roster. But it ain't about the money.
It's going to be hard for the Steelers to trade him financially.
It ain't. You keep this dude on your team,
he destroys you from the inside.
You're not going to reach your maximum potential. And the last person you should get into it with is your franchise quarterback. Correct. Because if you get into a public spat with your franchise quarterback is going to win. They have changed NFL rules to benefit the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks win that battle 100 times out of 100. Aaron Rodgers, the whole Greg Jennings thing, Greg Jennings gone. You have a problem with any quarterback, you are the first person to leave, not the quarterback. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I'll say one last thing before we move on from this. I am not in the fire Mike Tomlin camp because, A, the guy has never had a losing season in Pittsburgh, and with 9-10 teams hiring right now, I don't think that you need to fire a good coach just for the sake of change. And so I'm not in the firing camp of Mike Tomlin, but this season and the way he has handled things has made me question some things. And I didn't think that was possible with Mike Tomlin because I always thought highly of him with the way he handled his team and the way he motivated his team. But this situation has definitely changed things for me in that sense.
865-255-03, B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. If you are a Tennessee fan, and you are bothered today, January the 2nd, 2019, that Tennessee has not hired offensive coordinator, I understand. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you got to just be patient when you look around the country, and we're the only team who is this, quote, patient. You just look around the country, and you see a plan put in place for when Ryan Day takes over the head coach of Ohio State. He already has his offensive coordinator, and Mike, you're sick, done. You look at Matt Luke. He goes out. He gets Hugh Freeze. Not Hugh Freeze. He goes out. He gets Rich Rod. He gets Mike McIntyre. All these moves are being made.
Like even USC and Clay Helton and Cliff Kingsbury.
Now, Cliff Kingsbury may go to the NFL, and Clay Helton may look really bad here. Bad. That's a possibility. But they made moves. And if you're a Tennessee fan, you're not trying to hear anyone tell you, oh, why are you worrying? There's no reason to worry. You should just be patient. It's 2019. We still don't have an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Now, if you get the right coordinator, all of this stuff doesn't matter. And you're really not going to know that the offensive coordinator is the right hire until we get into the season anyways. So we're not going to know for another 8, 9 months.
9, 10 months.
We won't know. Yeah, you say 9, 10 months because that's when you start really playing people anyways. Even though you do play BYU, it's going to be a good out-of-conference opponent. But especially we're not going to know even in the spring whether the coordinator is good or not. We won't know until we play an opponent and there's in-game adjustments that's required. We're not going to know. What we do know is that two guys that we wanted, we did not get. for whatever reason. I think Jerome Pruitt wanted Hugh Freeze. Didn't get him. Oklahoma State's offense coordinator. Well, I guess technically, is he still the coordinator now? But he's going to Ohio State. But Mike Yurcich, we wanted him. We offered him. He's not coming here. Those are two guys that Tennessee was in heavy talks with, did not happen. So if you're a Tennessee fan, how are you supposed to feel? Are you supposed to be doing backflips? Are you supposed to be positive about the search when you look at how we've conducted searches in the future, in the past? No, you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be.
I've said all along that it doesn't matter when you make the hire as long as you hire the right guy. But if come Monday, you, I, and Charlie are sitting here talking about Tennessee not having an offensive coordinator, at that point, I will say that it is pathetic and a little bit ridiculous that Tennessee does not have an offensive coordinator. And that doesn't mean that Jeremy Pruitt can't go out and still hire the right guy and make a good hire. He can, but by Monday, why in the world would Tennessee not have an offensive coordinator at that point, other than the fact that a lot of people have turned you down? You've had
just five.
You've had, that we know of publicly, you've had 5 weeks to scout college offensive coordinators and potentially hire somebody from the college ranks.
Mm-hmm.
You've had, come Monday, it will have a week to interview NFL offensive coordinators who you've had 5 weeks to kind of look around and scout and things of that nature. At that point, and you're not dealing with recruiting this week or last week like you were a couple weeks ago, why would you not have an offensive coordinator by Monday? At that point, I think it looks a little bit ridiculous. And again, that doesn't mean that Jeremy Pruitt can't go out and hire the right guy. He still can. But at that point, I think the search looks ridiculous at that point. There's really no reason to not have a guy, in my opinion.
What you're seeing is the result of a coach just finishing his first year being a head coach. As he enters his second offseason here at Tennessee, you're seeing that, and you're seeing a AD who has been on the job for 13 months, maybe 13 months. That's what you're seeing. Love it or hate it, criticize or not, that is what it is. That's what we have. That's the position that we have allowed ourselves to be in because of past decisions, is that we have a AD who's never been an AD before. And as much as I got love for Coach Foreman, because he's my coach and always treated me right, that is a fact. I'm not going to sit here and lie on the radio and act like he's a seasoned vet at being AD, because he's not. He's learning on the job. What we do know is that he loves Tennessee and he wants to help get football healthy. Wanting to get football healthy and wanting to help sometimes doesn't mean that you're actually doing that. And I'm not accusing Coach Foreman of not helping, but there's a lot of times when, like, your intention is to help and you do too much and it's not helping.
You make things worse.
I don't know if that's happening or not. I don't know. Sometimes you can have too many cooks in the kitchen because they're all trying to help and you can't get anything done. But this is part of the maturation process. This is part of learning on the job. Jerome Pruitt is also learning the same thing when it comes to managing his staff, when to micromanage and when not to micromanage. I think Coach Foreman's learning the same thing. And I think that's why you don't have an offensive coordinator on January the 2nd. You got two guys who are learning on the job. Hour three, powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com.
Hour three of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again? Let us help.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Smokehouse Stew, Barbecue Cheddar Meatloaf, or the Smoked Turkey and Dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sautéed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their Hillbilly Chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Sipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Birmingham says he's completely disagree here. You know immediately based on who we get. If we got Hugh Freeze, Yurcich, Chaney, we would know we would have a good offense eventually. That's how he did that, eventually. I knew immediately Helton wasn't going to be good here. He didn't even call plays at USC. My question, Vol and Birmingham, to you is, did you know that Mike DeBoer was going to be good here when he was hired? Because no one knew. And Mike DeBoer was good. If you don't think Mike DeBoer was good, I want you to name me a coordinator that you have been happy with. Name me a coordinator that you like. Because everyone seems like all they do is trash on every offensive coordinator. Do you even have a coordinator that you like?
What was the response when Tennessee hired Bob Stoops?
Oh, they're doing backflips. Oh, home run, slam. Yeah, this is going to be a good hire. Everyone thought this was a great hire.
What about after year one?
Bob Stoops is terrible, man. Golly, he's a worse defensive coordinator. Man, he may be worse than South and Surrey.
I rest my case.
You don't know, man. You can say, you can sit here and say you do.
You can have an idea.
You can say it's a good hire based on the name. But you look at Ole Miss and the Rich Rod hire. on paper, it looks good. It looks great. It looks great. I'm sorry, but Rich Rod doesn't have a clean past of being made, you know, being able to not have drama. He, not at all. You can go Google Rich Rod and go see the stuff that happened in Arizona.
Well, it's just like with Cliff Kingsbury. We think that he, if he does stay at USC, we think that he will be a really good hire there. But there's no way of absolutely knowing. For all we know, he and Clay Helton could butt heads a month into the season. Or he could end up being the best thing that ever happened to Clay Helton. He could save Clay Helton's job. But we don't know one way or the other. We have an idea of what may happen, but we don't know 100% what will happen.
Coach S.A.J. here says, we can say an offensive coordinator should have been hired because we haven't hired one goes a lot deeper than Pruitt or Coach Former. If we offered a really substantial amount of money and we're getting turned down, what is the problem? This place, whether we like it or not, can be graveyard too. We have a written media here that constantly puts out negativity. I would like to hear what you think the problem is, because it can't be because Pruitt is micromanaging. Saban micromanages. Thanks for all you do. I don't listen to anyone else. Well, just because Saban does something doesn't mean that everyone else can do it and expect the same results. Saban is 5'3", he eats Debbie cakes, and he doesn't gain any weight. Y'all go out there and try to eat a bunch of Debbie cakes and see if you stay the size that you stay, wearing a size 6.5 shoe like Nick Saban. No. Nick Saban can do that. Nick Saban has a place where coaches who get in trouble can go there, not be paid, work themselves back up, and become a head coach. That's what Nick Saban got going on. Nick Saban has a culture that you will take some butt chewings for a year or two if he knows it's going to advance your career. Dooley didn't have that environment. McElwain didn't have that environment. Pruitt doesn't have that environment. There's a lot of coaches who've coached for Nick Saban that don't have that luxury. Maybe Jimbo Fisher, but Nick Saban can do things that no one else can do. I don't think that Tennessee does not have an offense coordinator simply because Jerry Pruitt micromanaged last year. I don't think that is the sole factor.
I think the reason Tennessee doesn't have an offensive coordinator is because has more to do with how Jeremy Pruitt has gone about trying to find an offensive coordinator rather than people not wanting to coach at Tennessee.
I don't even think that's the sole reason either.
Well, I don't think it's the sole reason. That's more of the reason. Tennessee's not out here offering coach after coach after coach after coach and getting turned down. I mean, it's been, to our knowledge, at least two that have probably turned Tennessee down.
One.
Or one.
Public.
Public.
One that we know publicly that turned Tennessee down, and that is Mike Yurcich, who's going to Ohio State. Only one publicly. This is what we know about this job. Unless there's a coach leaving or staying, it is January the 2nd. So there's really no reason for a coach, if he's going to leave, to let me take that back. If you're going to leave and you're in it for a kid and that coach is very, very important, it's best to wait until after signing day. But Tennessee, we only got like 3 or 4 spots left anyways. So if you have a coach that's going to leave and you know that, it really shouldn't hinder you being able to go out and hire an offense coordinator. You got most of your class signed. This is the situation. Again, for folks who truly just don't understand the dynamics here, you have one spot on this staff. That spot is for a coordinator / quarterback's coach. That's what you have. Look across the bowl games over the last 2 days. The best play callers, man, they're head coaches. Jimbo Fisher, Lincoln Riley. These guys are head coaches calling plays. And there may be some slim pickings trying to find a coordinator that matches what you want to do, that also can coach quarterbacks, and he cannot bring anyone with him. South Carolina Lake Vol said Jeff Scott publicly turned us down. I didn't know there was an offer to Jeff Scott. So if there was an official offer from Tennessee to Jeff Scott, that's news to me, because I've never heard Jeff Scott being offered a Tennessee.
That's now, news to me as well.
If a reporter asked a coach about a job and he says he's not interested, that doesn't mean he turned down Tennessee. You have to be offered to turn down somebody. Just because you're asked about a job and you say you're not interested doesn't mean you turn that job down. That just means you're not interested. Neil Brown's name has been mentioned, but has he officially been offered the job? If he has...
I saw last night where he's probably about to leave for West Virginia.
Hey, if I'm him, that's a great spot for him. That's a great spot for him. Talent's already there. That's a good spot for him. And West Virginia will be lucky to have him.
Yeah, and you're somewhat familiar with that territory. Kentucky's next door neighbors with West Virginia.
He's a Kentucky grad. That's a good spot for Neil Brown. I'm a huge Neil Brown fan. But that is one of the reasons why this hire has been so difficult. It ain't just one thing. It ain't just because Pruitt micromanaged. Did he? Yes. It ain't just because Pruitt's a first-year coach and Coach Fulmer's first-year AD. Maybe is that part of it? Yeah, I think so. I think it's part of it. It's why it's been so long since we hired an offense coordinator. I don't think it's just one thing. It is difficult to just hire a one coach and not be able to bring anyone with him. I think that's part of it, too. But I'm sorry, the excuse of, well, you got to wait till the regular season's over. You got to wait till the NFL season's over. You got to wait till the bowl season's over. Well, that's over.
What are you waiting on now?
That was the excuse to buy time. Talking about 95% done. Nah, what's the excuse now? There's no excuse.
Now it must be 99%.
You gotta go get the right guy. You gotta get the right guy. I understand that this situation is not ideal to be in. To have a staff already put together except for one position. That's tough to feel. It's tough to feel. But it's not how fast you get the hire, it's making the right hire. And Tennessee still has the opportunity. Swain Event, be right back.
Hour three of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
There is a 50% chance of showers today, cloudy with a high of 52 and a low of 43. A 40% chance of rain tomorrow with a high near 52 and a low around 40. More rain likely on Friday with a high in the mid-50s. Weather on the Swain Event is brought to you by B-Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, B-Dry can help. B-Dry.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain Event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
It's almost football time in Tennessee, which means it's time to get geared up at Alumni Hall. Find the best selection of Nike, Nike Golf, Tommy Bahama, and all those retro logos you love. Don't forget about your game day crew. Plenty of selection for the ladies, the little balls, and to upgrade their tailgate. Shop now at one of their six convenient locations in Tennessee or 24/7 at alumnihall.com. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells and what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy. VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The berry punch and activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the pure recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The chocolate gladiator and the chocolate shredder with the scoop of peanut butter, oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
At work, can't call in. Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Nelson says, when will Darnell Wright announce that he's coming to Tennessee?
Hey, man.
He's supposed to be making this announcement on Saturday. I don't know if he is coming to Tennessee or not. Guys, he could go anywhere. There's nothing to read into with him and Wanya Morris's interview where they seem to have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, when recruiting guys that cover recruiting for Tennessee are spending a week down at the Under Armour All-American game and putting out multiple pieces on a player, I think that tells you all you need to know. I mean, he's been treated like he's Eric Gray and he's been signed, or Kavarius Crouch and he's been signed. Maybe we need to talk to Andy and his sources. I'm sure they know what's happening.
Ben's over here like Sherlock, homeboy. Matlock.
I got my magnifying glass out.
Hey, man. You're putting the pieces together, Ben. You're cracking the code, Ben. You are. He's going to make his announcement on Saturday.
Now, that was the last thing that we heard. When you go to 24/7's page, it doesn't say when he is committing, and normally, like with Eric Gray, everybody knew he was committing on that Thursday of the early signing period, and it was on. He was listed on his 24/7 page. When you go to Darnell Wright's, it's not listed, so I don't know if anything has changed. But the last indication was that he was announcing at the Under Armour All American Bowl, which is Saturday. I don't know what time the game is. Usually, it's around noon or so.
Yeah, noon and one, something like that. Coach S.A.J. came back. Thanks, Swain. I wouldn't have gotten an answer from you on the show. Once again, we got to look at reality. I saved my comments on the written media in Knoxville and the leader there that I think has something against UT. I mean, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about John Adams, right? man, let's just, hey, let's call a spade a spade. That's what you're doing. You're calling out John Adams for, you know, what you perceive as a ton of negativity towards the program. There's no question there's a history between John Adams and Coach Former. There's been some times that John Adams has written some stories that I have agreed with. But John Adams is, he doesn't play politics with Tennessee's athletics. He writes what he feels, and he don't mind poking the bear a little bit. I don't think he has anything to do with the success or lack thereof with the Tennessee football program. He don't deserve any blame for what has gone wrong. The media deserves no blame for what's going on, because the media gets ammunition. Where are they getting it from? Well, they're getting it from Tennessee not taking care of business. So I don't blame the media for anything that's going wrong with Tennessee. It's Tennessee's job to not give anyone any reason to write anything negative. If you want to write something negative that's not true, that's on you. That's your credibility that you're putting on the line. But I mean, John Adams has his style. Everyone has their style. I don't necessarily have a problem with John Adams. There's some times where I kind of shake my head and laugh and go, dude, you were reaching on this one. And there's times where I agree. At the end of the day, I do respect folks that just say what they feel. If that's what they really feel. It doesn't mean I have to always agree, but I'm not blaming the media for any failures in Knoxville as far as Tennessee football. It ain't the media's fault.
There are three positives about Tennessee football right now. That is A, Butch Jones is no longer the coach. B, recruiting. C, what the players on the team are doing within the community. Outside of that, what positivity is there to write and talk about? And so I know I'm technically a member of the media and I write and whatnot, but you know, the football team's got to give us something to write positively about outside of recruiting and what the guys are doing in the community. I mean, those things are covered fairly well. There were several articles on what Trey Smith and his teammates did with the Coats and giving back downtown. There were several articles written on that. And, you know, recruiting gets a lot of attention as well. And I've seen the guys over there at the Knoxville News Sentinel, along with John Adams, write positive things. So it's kind of Tennessee football's own fault that there are negative articles out there. Win football games and there won't be.
Man, I just want to know who is behind this Knox News account that tweets out just random photos and it's terrible. That's what I want to know. You want to blame them for some problems? Let's blame them, because I don't know what they do half the time. 865-255-03B, dry waterproofing hotline. Got about probably 30 seconds or less.
50 seconds on the dot.
Yeah, maybe somewhere around there. But I apologize for some of the technical issues, even though it's nothing I can really control. At the end of the day, still a Swain event. It's our product, and we do rely on other services to do their job for us to be able to do ours efficiently. I got word that Comcast is going to send in a technician today. So
feel bad for that poor technician.
I don't. Well, I do. I do. I feel bad for him. It's not his fault. But hopefully we will be 100% running tomorrow. Sorry for the video problems, but we were streaming on the app. For Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Hope you have a great day. Happy New Year. Same time tomorrow, 7 a.m. Peace and love.